Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It's I, Rob the Wine Guy. Tonight is a special night for a lot of reasons. First of all, I'm here. That makes it special.
That is special.
But second, the unlicensed taxi driver is here.
Oh, and it's somewhat special that I'm here.
It is, because you made it another year in this world.
I'm aging before your eyes.
This is Scott's birthday week, and we always like to celebrate Scott's birthday week. Yay!
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me.
A year ago, we recorded the Chateau Saint-Jean Cinque-Sapage episode.
Oh.
Folks, if that's thinking back. And in the next session episodes, tonight we have the opening act. And then in the next week, which is later tonight, you're going to hear the main event. We're going to go back tonight, though, the first wine. Is exceptional. It is the grandfather in our eyes of Zinfandel, but we personally have never drank it on the show.
That's right.
We have had past vintages with Shakespearean Phil a long time ago, but you and I always talk about it, but we never drank it.
I forgot. I thought we did do it. I thought it was like an unaired episode.
No, we've drank it together, just never on the show. So tonight we have 2015. They're 2015 vintage, the newest vintage. Segesio's Sonoma County Zinfandel, something we love.
And we've talked about this when we mentioned Zinfandels. I don't think we've ever referred to it that, but the grandfather of Zinfandels.
The grandfather of the cab-style Zins.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, and by that, we're talking a fuller-bodied, tannic, bigger, rich one. And so when we come back, we're going to kick off the birthday extravaganza here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the 15 Segesio Sonoma County Zinfandel. This one actually did quite poorly with the Spectator. It only got 90 of their points.
Oh, that's terrible. Terrible.
Segesio, I think the 13 or 14 got 93 of their points.
Wow.
Might have been a slightly overrated, but always does low 90s. And they say, Spectator anyway, this loaded zesty blackberry and raspberry fruit offering a vibrant structure with appealing accents of toasted sage, white pepper, and licorice. Drink now through 2027. How many cases do you think they make of this?
50,000.
102,000 okay. Cases.
Wow.
Lots.
And that's
$20 in. It's a lot. That's a lot of wine.
And it's not. I mean, they've got how many levels would you say they have of this?
Oh no, they have a great many Zins.
The old vine. Have you had their old vine?
I've been to Segesio.
Damn you!
I've had all of their wine. I like their Pagani. I like their Rock Pile. I like their Rock Pile a lot. Their old vine is very, very good too. But they have other ones too, stuff I've never even heard of. And they bounce it around. This is Sonoma County, but they have Alexander Valley. They have some Dry Creek. A few months ago, I had, I think the Pagani Ranch.
Ooh.
It was very, very good.
Ooh.
But it was an 09, so it had a few years on it.
Okay.
But it didn't mind. It did not mind at all. So previously I alluded to this being the cab style of Zins. And what I'm talking about when I say that is it has a big backbone of tannin. I mean, it does. These typically do. That's why you see in the Spectator, it says, hey, this thing's going to age for 10. This thing can hold for 10 years from the date that, well, actually it's 12 years since it's released. And that says a lot about the wine.
Well, and Sagisio is going to be a maker that reviewers can trust to make those kind of statements. You know the quality. You know what goes into making their product. And year in, year out, that's why these entry-level Zin score so high.
Well, they just do Zin. It's a Zin-only producer, and it's a fairly well-known Zin-only producer. And this has been the case for years, back when I was selling wine.
Mm.
Sagesio was one of the go-tos. Now, it was only $13 then, but it was one of the go-tos. And I remember as it creeped up and creeped up and creeped up in price. And it's kind of stayed level just below 20. So it's right there with Dry Creek and the lot. But
yeah, I think sometimes a little over 20, 22 maybe you might see.
If it's not on post off. But the beauty part of this is you find it everywhere. Where you don't find the Dry Creek, you don't find this or that, you know. So let's
but
do.
You know, in cab style, this is a dark, dense Zinfandel.
Well, it looks like a plummy cab.
It does.
In the glass.
It does.
And tonight, folks, we are using Riedel Venom Series Zinfandel glasses.
Hello, Riedel. Mm. We love you, Riedel.
No wine series for tonight. Just Venom.
Mm. Rob, even before we talk about the nose, is diving in, as usual, as per wont. He is...
I forgot. I did.
He forgot the formula.
I had a mind lapse.
Often you forget the formula.
Okay, I'll pretend like I didn't do that. It's hard to smell when I'm smiling. Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's not...
Blackberry.
This huge nose.
Sorry. Hold on. Blackberry. Let me reset this with some water.
Too late.
Okay, I've never had it now. I don't remember. Blackberry.
There's not much of an alcohol nose. No. There's a little menthol in the back.
Just a kiss of vanilla, but not much.
Just a kiss. What's all in all, it's somewhat subdued nose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Scott, why don't you pull up the website there? It's 14.8% alcohol. I want to see what they're if they talk
that's
about
a huge Zin.
That's around 15.
Let's see.
I want to know about the oak. How they're oaking this sucker. Mm. Oh, vamp, why you do that? I would have done it earlier, but I didn't. What I always love about these things, though, is they're just proper. You know, and it's consistently good. I mean, there isn't... Shakespearean Phil loves Sagesio. Whenever I buy a gift... Normally, I'm buying Sagesio Sonoma County Zin. It's not all that, uncommon and rare, but it's for a Zin drinker, it's just good.
Yeah, so they're adding a small amount of Petite Syrah.
Okay.
Is added to honor century-old traditions and to provide color and structure.
To
hence,
provide
hence
color,
denseness. Yeah. The result is a wine that offers tantalizing raspberry, blueberry, classic briary, and spicy flavors. Mm-hmm. The balanced components for which Sagisio wines are known.
Doesn't say how it's aged.
About the aging.
Which?
Let's see if we click in.
So Sagesio is being coy with us. Nevertheless, let's drink it. I believe we should drink it. Salud.
Salud.
Or as my youngest said the other night, cheers.
Cheers. Illy said cheers?
He did. I said cheers to Illy. What were we drinking? Oh, we were having pudding. I said cheers. And he goes, cheers.
If there's anything... Mm-hmm. that you consume as food that you'd say cheers with, it'd be chocolate pudding.
Yes, it was the kind where it's dirt pudding. Where I know.
Don't call it pudding.
No. Little Jimmy's playing in the background.
Oh. Mm.
Chewy, big, huge. Mm-hmm.
It's cab-like.
Very much so.
With definitely a brambly edge, but it's.
Mm-hmm. Spice, not quite black pepper.
White pepper. That's how they describe
it. Yeah, and I would a little more subtle. Go with that. You know, mm-hmm. You got cocoa, coffee. I would say black cherry. Something along those lines on the mid palate, not on the front. And what, as usual, as we've always noted, chewy tannins.
Spicy finish.
Long.
Tannic, a little bit of tannin and spice.
Long.
Yeah.
Long.
It has the classic Zin spice finish. And this is one of the few. This, Dry Creek, and if even like Seven Deadly Zins did not have a spicy finish. Zin should have a spicy finish. This does, the Dry Creek, the Ravenswood, they didn't.
No.
They didn't.
Mendocino did.
A little bit, yeah. But this is the proper Zin. When you want to break in and you say, what do good Zins taste like? This is the first representation of what a good Zin tastes like for not a lot of money.
And there's a lot going on. There's mm-hmm. a lot of dents. There's a lot of brighter Cali berry fruits, but mm-hmm. I'm going to stick by that black cherry. It's not quite into the savory fruits completely, but it's like a really overripe black cherry.
You mean mid-palate?
Mid-palate, right? It's right there.
Yeah.
And it's in there with that cocoa coffee thing.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't quite go red fruits or savory fruits. It kind of is straddling a line.
It's headed that way.
Mm-hmm. But it still is a little bit too, I don't know, blingy. I'm not sure what the word is. It just pops a little more than what you'd think. It's not quite as rounded off. It's a little more, it has more pop. Mm-hmm. It's very, very good. Very, very good. Remember I always talk about Frannis? Well, you probably don't remember this.
I don't remember
Frannis. I love Frannis Zins. They make great Zin. I don't see them much anymore. A lot of them are, like, they do Mead Ranch, Pagani. They do some of that stuff. I think Frannis might come in around 30. They're cab Zins. And this is reminding me of everything about those.
Frannis, we'll have to look mm-hmm. for that. We're not going to see it retail. I'm sure I've seen it by now.
We used to sell, at the Andersons we sold it. But we sold, it was a Zin friendly, you should have seen our Zin selection, Scott. We had everything. Who's who's. What would you want? We had all the single vineyards from Renwood, Ravenswood. We did Green and Red, Pedroncelli, Mother Clone.
Oh. That's where it lived.
Easton, how I've talked about Easton. It's all there. Dash. Three or four different versions of Dash. Obviously, Segeschio. Two to maybe three versions of Segeschio. Like this, the Old Vine and the Pagani. Peachy Canyon, Klein. See, what else would be there? Gallo Sonoma, they used to have a premium level. They still do, but they had great Zins.
Mm.
We did those. Montevina, I think we've talked about those before. We had those. Yes. Let's see, what else? Frog's Leap.
Can't go wrong. Gurgitch.
It just went on and on and on. It was like a Zin lover's heaven.
How do you spell Frannis? How's that?
Frannus.
Frannis. I was putting a T.
I just think back to that. I wish I could go into that shop today. It doesn't exist anymore, naturally. And there's no real Zin focus. We did really well with that, and we did really well with Chateauneufs and Bordeaux's when we had them. Oof. We did, like, Chateauneuf was something that we really focused on and knew. And boy, did we ever have a bunch of Chateauneufs. Good Lord. And we had hardly any Burgundy because we didn't cast Burgundy aside. Eventually, then we got big into Spanish. And we had Numancia right when it was starting out the gate. I remember that. 1998 Numancia.
Oh.
Yeah. It was like $35.
Pure Franis. Right now, they're offering a Napa, a 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So they're holding.
How much do they ask them?
Website price is $32.
Not bad.
From them direct.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably $55 shipping, but... Yeah. There's that.
You know. There's that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love these things. Ravenswood, God bless you. But Ravenswood, I get their emails for their website and all that stuff, and they always have like 10% off this, 25% off a case. But when you calculate in the shipping, it's like...
Easier to drive there?
It's easier to buy a plane. Learn how to fly. And by plane, I mean a fighter jet. So you buy an F-22.
There you go.
You learn how to fly it. And then you can go get it. And you have to take several trips because the F-22 won't fit more than a bottle in its little, you know, base. So that's about how much you save. It's not as bad as Schaefer. Schaefer,
woo!
It should be, you know, indicted for
what
their...
What was it for four bottles?
For four bottles?
Two bottles.
$40. It's okay if you... I mean, wow. Do you want people to buy or not? It's not like it costs you $40 to ship. It doesn't. I don't get that.
When you buy direct, you're going to pay more for shipping, but, you
know... No, you can't...
Ad nauseum, we love Turley, and you pay a reasonable amount. Now, could it be cheaper? Yeah, but, you know, the more you buy, the cheaper it is per bottle, and it's not bad.
But their single bottle per price is under $6 a bottle.
Yes.
And that's... Nobody has that. And they undervalue... And they undercharge what they have at retail, so... They're selling us at wholesale.
We get a good price.
That's why we buy, though, from Turley and no one else, really, because the deal is just too good.
Well, they just want you to be part of the deal, and they're not trying to rape you on the price. Mm-hmm. But or sometimes these other direct, when you buy direct, it's just somewhat ridiculous.
Heights is pretty good direct. I've bought in Great Port a few times from them that way, which, by the way, is very good. So, folks, we're going to take a break while we dissect this wine even more. And we're going to come back. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this wine. And then we're going to get to our potpourri here on this birthday episode of The Wine Vault. Right back. So we're back. So the Sonoma County from Sagascio. We're talking a little bit off air. Scott thought we were on air, and he probably made his best point ever.
But, in my life.
But he forgets it now.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. Oh, the wine.
Damn it.
By the way, I'm going to get a little more Gouda because it's good.
You know, just one of the bigger, more full-bodied zins we had, and then we made the comparison to Baron.
Baron, yeah.
The not the California, but
Sonoma County.
Oh, go figure. This is Sonoma County.
But this price range is the California.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
this doesn't really
maybe a little cheaper.
Yeah. To really put this in the same class, the Baron or Baron, however you want to pronounce it, the Sonoma, it is so unique in its oaking. How it has vanilla as a major component. And I don't think it's for everybody. It's for us, but not for everybody.
so full-bodied.
Yes.
Full throttle. So full-bodied.
This and is full-bodied.
This is towards that, but not quite there.
No.
And honestly, this has a little more going on than that did. That had huge components that were so well-balanced,
mm-hmm.
and a huge part of that for us was the idea of collecting that and mm-hmm. giving it 4 years and see where it's at. And we've always said Seguizio, just this Sonoma, is mm-hmm. something you can hold back for a little bit.
And we have. And, I mean, we've done 13s, 12s, 11s. We have held it back.
I can't.
And I
keep pulling it out.
Don't they complain? They should. Not much. Maybe they don't notice.
Well, they want to drink it. So anyway. It's not in the cellar anymore. I have zero bottles of Seguizio left in the cellar.
Oh, we're talking about wine. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What you think?
We're talking about your penis. I'm sorry. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Well. No.
You said you pulled it out. I don't know.
Well.
But this wine is very tolerant to aging, short-term aging. Like, I had a 2009 Pagani. Now, it's $40 or so. But it was 2009. And I had it just last year. It was fine.
It was fine.
Now, one thing I will say about the Seguizios, it's not like when you get into the $50 range, there's some dynamic that is so much bigger than this. I would suggest that they are similar bodied. However, they're a bit more complex.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's saying something because, again, to repeat ad nauseum, there's a lot going on in this.
Well, I mean, normally they're single appellations. So where this is Sonoma County, they might be Alexander Valley or Dry Creek. So you're going to get a little bit of that nuance, just like Fry Brothers does with their Dry Creeks in. They get the cotton candy nuance.
You just brought Fry Brothers into the discussion.
That's right. They're like, hey, kiddies. There's this place called Seguizio where they make wine that tastes like wine. Don't you want wine that tastes like a rhubarb mincemeat pie? Do. Come on, kiddies. Why drink good wine when you can ride the ponies? Do. We've only had 4 elephants in our elephant ride place die of unnatural causes. Do.
What the fuck is a rhubarb mincemeat pie?
I don't know. Taste our Dry Creek Zin and find out. Do. God. And by the way, Fry Brothers, I'm going to continue to mock you and make you cry until you stop making wine. I mean, Jesus, man. All of your shit goes on clearance. All of it. By the way, the Merlot, it was in my hand. I put it back. And I bought Sledgehammer Cab for a future episode.
Yes.
That's what you're getting. I purchased Sledgehammer, for God's sakes, Cab over you for the show.
Easy.
It was a Dry Creek Merlot. Now, I'm pretty sure Dry Creek and Merlot aren't necessarily simpatico, as they would say. But, okay. I don't know.
A Dry Creek Merlot?
If it's up above the fog line, it might do all right. It better be up above the fog. Oh, they probably don't know about that. Fog line? I can't see there. We grow it in a circus tent on the valley floor. What's vine rot?
We wear London fog raincoats when we harvest.
No, we don't. It's not flashy enough. Oh.
Ooh.
Hey, smell my flower. Oh, you got water in your face. Oh, they fall for it every time.
Damn it,
dude. Actually, no, that's not water. That's our Chardonnay. I know you thought we put urine in your face, but it's just our It is urine? That's the same thing, dude.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, how can you not? I wonder what would happen to those wines in 5 years. Well, they'd probably be declared to be a Trumpy's rolled back all the EPA regulations.
So yes.
That's probably allowing them to continue making wine. They're probably very happy.
Well.
We have clean coal and we have Fry Brothers.
Maybe not. Maybe they've stopped wine production because now they don't have to put that stuff in the bottle to dispose of it.
Oh, they're back to their.
They just dump it.
They're back to their old business of medical waste.
There you go.
Okay.
See?
Yes, medical body parts. Dumping. That's our business. We're out of metal cans.
What was it? Natural News? Steve's body weighs
trickle. We grind up. No, that's never mind. Back to this one. Yes.
Oh, let's go. Let's real go. Quick.
Real quick.
Stop the chicanery. Back to the wine. Let's go front, mid, rear palate, finish.
Sure.
Start to finish.
You have to get through the chicanery to get to the serious
well,
stuff.
Not necessarily. Do.
It's addicting. Oh, yes. Front palate.
Do it as clown voice.
Wow.
It's just berry. It hits. It's immediate. It's berry. And it's... If I had to say unripe to ripe, I would say it's right dead in the middle. It's nice berry profile. It's not super sweet. It's that berry, maybe a hint of strawberry. Maybe just a hint.
You know what I want to say, but I can't because it's not quite brooding. That is an old world characteristic I normally.
No,
it has some of the properties of those wines, but it's a little bit more upbeat.
Yeah, and
it's not as dour.
It's not quite bright.
No,
but it's headed that way. Mm-hmm. There's almost. I'm gonna call it. A clean berry fruit.
Mm-hmm.
On the winemaker's page, they talk about raspberry. I'm not sure I get raspberry. I think
black raspberry.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And when it goes down the wrong pipe, it burns a little bit. But it's okay. It's okay. But it burns so good.
You're getting black raspberry.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, definitely. The fleshiness. And a little bit of the sweetness. Just a little bit.
You said, I think originally you said blackberry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call it a little bit of strawberry. But I just think it's like...
It's too heady for that. And that would be a little more acidic. This isn't that acidic.
But I get just a touch of acidity. But
that's the spice.
The mid palate is the star of this wine. That's where... Everything happened.
That's where that imaginary cherry that you were talking about is.
No. I still like it for the black cherry.
Mm-hmm.
I like it for the cocoa, the hint of coffee. And that's where the tannins start to reveal themselves. The front palate, it's not the longest front palate, but it's a decent size. It's not a flash in the pan. But that mid palate, that's where the chewy tannins come in. And all that hint of headed towards savory... Calling a black cherry mixed in there with the coffee and the cocoa.
I like it because as a mosaic, as a complete picture, it's what I imagine Zinfandel to taste like when I sit there and think to myself. Now, not that I have these thoughts often, but occasionally I do. I mean, you'd think you're the most mundane oddball in the entire world.
No, we think about Zinfandel all the time.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
And quite frankly, if you think that because of that, you have no nothing. I mean, well, shit, that's nothing.
I mean, pick your red wine.
No, it is.
Pick your red wine to fixate on. We fix on in Zinfandel.
But when I sit there and I say, what does a Zinfandel taste like? This is what comes to mind. You need some?
Your little wine. If God intended us to drink Zinfandel, which I think he did,
yeah,
this is what he had in mind.
This is Zin. This, if anybody says to me, what is Zin? This is it. Like, the Seven Deadly Zins. Not really Zin. Too old world. Rancho, I'll just go through the list here on the Hall of Fame. Just the Hall of Fame. Rancho Zumbaco. Rancho Zumbaco is very elegant, but it's not as big as this wine.
But what the thing that I'll make a comparison point with Zumbaco to this is the tannic structure. Good tannins.
It does.
A little bit of ageability.
Very little. This has vastly more ageability than that.
I agree.
Seven Deadly Zins, it's not that zinny. It's very good, but it's not that zinny. It's a little more old world, current, things of that
we
nature.
It's just oddball. We love that. And again, point out, Zins, the variability in what you can get out of them, it's a great representative in that you're not going to hear us describe Zins as old world.
Ravenswood Medicino. That's a little racier. It was racier. It wasn't quite this big. but it had lovely complexity and a long finish.
And from what I can remember. Spiciness.
It did.
God, I wish we could get our
the Lake County area, Mendocino area, they make some good Zins up there. That, what did I have? It was from...
we mock Lake, but we found some good stuff.
Well, Zin is good. What was that? It was the... I had it at the beach. Was it called The Poet? No. What the hell? It's by... I'll say Van Strassen, but I don't think that's who it is. Steel. It was Steel Zin, but it was they called it something else. I don't forget what it was. But it's made by Steel. It was excellent. It was Lake County. Artisan.
Pacini?
What is it?
Pacini? No. Oh, Writer's Block is what you had.
Writer's Block, yes, Writer's that's Block. Right. Writer's Block was great. Artisan, once again, another Mendocino Zin. It's bright and exciting. It's an exciting Zin. And with the Artisan, we've had that a second time. With the Zimbaco, we've had that many times. So both the Zimbaco and the Artisan are verified. The next one is the one I would equate most to this, and that's the Dry Creek.
Particularly when it comes to the level of complexity, yeah. The depth of flavor,
yeah.
The bright fruit and the savory fruit component,
mm-hmm.
and the tannic structure. And not only that, you drink the shit out of that too.
Oh, yeah. And then...
That's another one. I think I've successfully held a couple bottles of that back.
I've got some, but I have willpower.
You do.
I have three or four bottles of that.
I didn't. Well,
yeah.
My wife also pressures me into pulling stuff
she
out.
She doesn't. Well, it certainly is wine.
When it comes to wine.
And then the Ravenswood Napa. And that was big. It was a little more of a linear wine, but it was very good in its size and its tannic structure and all that kind of stuff.
Linear is a great word for it, but that line was big.
Yeah.
And really well structured.
Yeah. Yep.
We both agree that Napa of the Ravenswood line is the best.
Yeah, probably.
But you know what I drink the most? It's not up there.
The Lodi. Well, the Lodi is easy to find. It's the cheapest. Although the Mendocino is the same price as the Lodi. But if we can't find the Mendocino. I'd buy the Mendocino over the Lodi.
Damn it.
But, yeah. And those are the Zins we have up on there. Well, Braun. I mean, we've already talked about Braun.
That doesn't...
Yeah.
And Turley,
and then count. Yeah, Turley doesn't count. Turleys are
just—it's not fair.
They're a different echelon. I mean, it is. The only thing that there's no.
I mean, you can't even really compare the Juvenile to this.
No, it's different. It's completely different wine.
It's completely different. And,
And folks, we talk out our ass about Turley. Go try it. Then understand it. Try it, though, in the right setting. Don't get some damn bottle off the shelf, shake it up, and put it out there. Like, when we had it out in Vegas, that was an abused bottle. It wasn't treated properly, and it tasted bubblegummy and poor. And we also had martinis right ahead of time.
I think it was more that, and we'd been drinking all day.
That's well, you know, that's how different, though, is we have practice in that regard. Well, that was our third bottle, and we just had that Gurgitch Hill stuff that you had. But
and you guys have been drinking...
Oh, yeah, we have been drinking on the planes. Yeah.
Landed. Before you landed.
We had to sober up to then go out and drink more. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Folks, I've never been hungover. Well, I have. Never mind. I have been.
Hungover without going to bed?
I've been hungover like three or four times like that. But
damn it, son. That sucks.
And wine. No, it actually is really cool. But not when it's on frozen margaritas. But that's Shakespearean Phil's fault. And the other was in Wine Country. I had texted you that day.
You were texting me every day. That would differentiate nothing.
It was a nice trip. It was a nice trip. By the way, this year's baby moon.
What? Wait, what? When? What? Wait. We can't go to the blog conference, but you can go on a baby moon? You go on a baby moon, but we can't buy Astralis?
That's why. You know where we're going?
Napa.
No.
Where?
Bordeaux.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I know. That is bullshit. Completely bullshit. Not doing any of that. There is no baby moon this time.
He was pulling my...
Boy, I wasn't going to let it go that long, but it seemed like you were...
Holy shit.
You were really upset. Right, that was fun. I love being a bad person. So, folks,
damn it,
we're going to take a break.
I didn't tell you where Princess and I are going on vacation.
Orlando.
Italy.
Yeah, right. Anyway.
Orlando.
Yeah, Orlando. Wow. By the way, you know what's similar to Orlando? Indianapolis. So we'll be right back on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So tonight's potpourri, we're going to start it's going to be a two-part series, and it's going to be a little bit about aging wine, collecting wine. Why do we do this? Why do we talk about this? Because old wines, and Scott's getting old.
I am old.
So we have found, first of all, we're just going to give you an overview, because we're really going to get into this next week. There's a wealth of knowledge out there on the internets.
The Google.
Oh, just basic information. I found some great stuff about just basic information about aging wines. For instance, the personal wine curator. Just Google that. They have an aging potential chart.
It's phenomenal.
It is a phenomenal list. And basically what it would say is, for instance, Côte du Rhône Village. They suggest the potentiality of that, the maximum is 4 to 8 years. Probably too much. Or, is it months or years? That's years.
It's years, man.
Jesus, these guys are high. Rioja, 6 to 25 years. They understand that. Are you going to age a Crianza for 6 years? I'm not. Germany.
There was a caveat to that list. It was a premium product.
Oh, the premium product.
It was a premium product. Oh,
okay.
It's not
the best things that they have. Okay.
Yes.
All right. That helps, because it doesn't say that on here. You must have read something different.
When you read the page.
See, I don't have the page. This is the page. I printed it off.
Somewhere in there it talks about.
Okay. Well, this says use this chart to determine your wine's aging potential.
Potential.
Use the aging potential chart to see a range of how many years your wine is likely to hold up in the cellar based upon variety and appellation. So, that's what it's saying, but maybe there was some sort of caveat that they forgot to have it print off, because I'm pretty sure cheap Sangiovese is not going to hold 2 years. Just saying. But it's interesting, though. There are a few things that are right. And when they say hold, they don't necessarily mean age. They mean how long will this last or in some way improve.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we've talked about before. And as a primer to everything, we're not – anything that we say, we don't mean 30 years. We just don't mean that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about short-term aging.
Yeah.
Because that's what's fun. You know, you might have a few things set for –
We need to give some context.
Oh, sure.
When we talk about holding on to Segizio, we're talking 3, 4, 5 years.
Yes, we are.
But the ageability, the vintage charts related to ageability by varietal, there's good information out there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that is talking about decades of aging.
It is.
And that's when you really get into collectability. Mm-hmm. But it's not out of the novice's reach to just start a cellar.
Oh, absolutely not. It takes a little bit of cleverness. But if I was starting a cellar today, first of all, you're not going to spend a lot of money on it, for instance. But if you did, if you wanted French wine, these little, the bourgeois, like the Chateau de Haute Leon and the Biot, and all those kind of little wines that are cheap, those are nice things to put in there for 3 to 5 years. I mean, they really are.
And some of them you can hit a home run and mm-hmm. it can go 10.
Oh, yeah.
But how do you balance that out? There's some good Spanish products out there. Use of a vintage chart, such as the one that Wine Guy's talking about, can help you get started. It gives you a baseline information.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of sources of purchasing wine out there, wine.com.
Oh, yeah.
We like the wine library a little bit.
They have some interesting things.
They do. And then you've got your local, yet internet reachable, a lot of East Coast sources of wine.
Well, that's the wine library is in East Coast, and they're New Jersey.
And you can get some nice stuff mm-hmm. at a reasonable price. Let's say you wanted to spend $100
sure.
a month and put away wine. It's not a bad goal to put aside 3 or 4 bottles of decent French wine the first month. Then spend $100 on a couple bottles of Cali. Then $100 on really Spanish stuff in the teens. You can get some decent Reserva stuff that should hold.
Yeah, I mean,
some Rioja, Tempranillo.
To be perfectly frank, though, folks, to build a collection, if you're not drinking any of it, when Scott says $100 a month, he ain't lying.
It's easy.
Well, I know it's expensive. We're not buying. There aren't. I mean, there's Hecula. Heculas don't exist. I know. Is yours come in, Scott? I mean, there's not many Heculas in this world.
Except we find them all the time.
I know.
We find them all the time.
But
a recent hysterical episode was Louis Bernard.
That's oh, yeah.
$14.
Yeah, but I wouldn't age Louis. And we've had it since then. It wasn't... Well, I guess you just don't drink Louis side by side with Old De Leon.
Ugh. As Old De Leon.
Yeah.
$18.
Yeah, you just don't ever...
Ageable. Sellable? How long could that go? We said 3-4. Could it go 10?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think
so. If aged right.
I think so.
And, yeah, you just don't... I don't know if there's many wines I drink side-by-side with Old De Leon, simply because I love Old De Leon so much.
Well, it's hard to stand up to that. And it's different. It's, you know, it's Southern Rhone compared to...
Oh, sure, to Bordeaux.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But Sagascio is something that you can sit in there and you know in 3-4 years you're going to have still a really nice wine, and it might improve a little bit. It might mature a little bit in the fact that what is going to happen, you know? And that's one thing we're going to cover. What is going to happen? What kind of things were going to happen to the wine? It's one of these cliffhanger episodes. Scott hates it.
Oh, love it.
Because he doesn't know what will happen. But nevertheless, we are going to take a break, folks, and we are going to come back with the reviews of Sagascio here on the Wine Vault. We're going to give a review
And then a balloon animal, as a matter of fact, to the Sagacio.
Can I have an alligator? Can I have an alligator? Can you do an alligator? Can I have an alligator?
What?
It's my birthday. Can I have an alligator?
We don't know how to make those. We just said we'd make them. See, we lie. And we make people cry.
Yeah, if you drink your wine, you fucking
cry.
If
you give me $35 for my Cabernet, I'll make you a balloon animal. It'll be a snake. A deflated snake. It'll be a snake skin.
Oh, my Lord. There's biblical terms.
I know that looks a lot like a condom, but just ignore that. It's not used. Trust me, we work for Fry Brothers. We can't use them.
So, the Sagacio. And I'm sure Sagacio's like, yeah, I really wanted to follow that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Oh, nobody at Fry Brothers getting laid. Where do you work? Oh, Fry Brothers. Oh, God. Anybody out there knows that. Steve Bodie wouldn't know that, though.
Steve Bodie. Well,
I love Fry Brothers.
I think Steve Bodie would know it.
Would he?
He might not say it.
No, he might not.
I think he doesn't know it.
But if he knew it, he would quote himself knowing it.
He knew it 4 years ago when he quoted himself in an article from 4 years previous.
Yes, that he wrote. It's not anyplace else. No, well, he'd have to quote himself from 4 years ago because nobody read it 4 years ago or today.
Except we read it.
Okay, that's
it. Damn it, son.
Okay, one. And that dude that wrote the love letter to him.
You.
Steve, you're so great. It wasn't. No, that guy was an award-winning author.
You're award-winning. You just don't know it yet.
Well, actually, I probably won the same award that guy did, the one I gave to myself. So,
well, I'll give it to you.
Oh, thank you. Scott, the Sagacio. Get my papers all organized here. Don't make any noise.
So, I'm known as Papa Scott.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. And this is Papa Seg. It is the grandfather of Zinfandels. I love the moniker. It's the grandfather. Okay. And it deserves this rating. I'm going to give it 91 of my points.
Ooh.
Love the balance of fruit.
You said 91.
I said 91 of my points. Wow. Love the huge tannic backbone. Perfect balance of fruit. I'm sorry that you don't get the little tart hint of strawberry. That's
because you made it up.
That's not the case. I'm
sorry, I don't see pink elephants either.
I love the tinge of acidity, but what I love most about this is the big, huge tannic mid-palate that has that, what I'm calling black cherry, almost headed to savory fruit. Down to the finish, that's nice, rambly spice, like this spice that's a little bit over the place, not quite black pepper. Plenty of finish, not a long finish, but longish finish. What a well-made Zinfandel. It's like you said, this is what God intended when he invented Zinfandel.
Mm-hmm. On the third day. He made Zinfandel. Yeah. If that's sacrilegious. Okay.
If that's sacrilegious, you haven't drank good Zinfandel.
That's right. Blasphemy.
Blasphemy.
For shame. So, on to me. I think the last vintage we tasted was Shakespearean Phil. I gave it an 89. Let me say this. I think this iteration of Sonoma Zinfandel is better than that one. Very, very good wine. I love the fact that it's a complete picture.
What a great phrase, man.
That's why I said it.
Complete picture.
I'm a wordsmith. It's from beginning to middle to end, does it. And the finish, I love the spiciness. That's what Zin is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be, and I'm still mad that that damn label's on that damn, but it is. There's seven of these Zins that pisses me off, but
What does it make you mad about the label?
It's them. I don't like that winery.
Why?
They make Freak Show.
Okay. They
make Earthquake.
Don't hold that against them.
I didn't.
They made that.
By the way, Earthquake was on the clearance shelf, so I checked to see what it was. It was a close-out price, or the post-off price.
Uh-huh.
I said, that's not clearance. It needs to be half that.
Who did that?
Somebody at Meijer.
They're idiots.
I know. But anyway, this gets 91 of my points as well. It's a Hall of Famer.
Woohoo!
The first vintage did not get there. This one did.
Yeah, it does.
Everybody was mad that I didn't actually put it in the Hall of Fame that day, but I had my integrity.
You did stick to that 91.
And it didn't deserve to be, that vintage didn't deserve to be, but the 15, that does. That's good. It's a good wine. And that's the thing. It's not like it's some sort of, it doesn't wow you. It just, everything you do is go, yep, that's good. Yep, that's really good.
But
that's really good.
In total, it wows you. In its completeness. And it, as always with us, because it does have some ability to be put back for 4 or 5 years, that gets us some double bonus points.
And we've almost drank the whole damn bottle before the episode ends, which is always an indicator
of our alcoholism.
That
our enjoyment of the quality
wine was really good. Yeah, so
it really was good.
Yeah, it's Hall of Fame.
Not only that, I'm going to point out, totally transparent, this was a 2-pour-each bottle of wine. Oftentimes, we'll pour and pour and pour. Nah.
There was like, Christian pours.
It was Christian pours because we know what we're drinking.
Christian pours, folks, are pours that, well, are a little bit heartier. A little bit. They're not the 2-ounce pour.
I think Christian, the concept of a Christian pour doesn't need explained.
It strains the ability of the Riedel to hold it back.
Damn it.
You need the thick mugs. So, tip of the cap, Segashio.
Oh, hello.
You finally get to where you belong.
Yes.
And now you're up where you belong. Where seven deadly sins flies. That really makes me mad. But it deserves it. Next vintage is going to fucking suck, and I'm going to get my day that day.
Why do you have...
I don't know.
Seven diddly zin shame. Are you shaming them?
The wine is very good.
You just don't like the label.
I do like the fact that when I use the stick'em peeler thing,
yes,
it did really well. The damn Frenchies don't work too well for that.
It's beautiful.
But it did peel off in one piece, which I appreciate. That and the Zumbaco both are glorious.
Speaking of that, you know what I found the other day that Princess and I had?
What?
I was going through stuff in the basement during the move, and in an oddball box, I found a lone bottle of the Domaine Vacau.
Oh.
Which is beside the Seven Deadly Sins in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And we, unfortunately, I made a decision. I don't care. We're having pizza. I'm drinking that with this. And we quickly chilled it, and it didn't hold up well to the pizza. It's still fucking delicious.
What did you eat it after the pizza?
That's what I did. I drank it. I drank it after the pizza. I didn't eat it after.
Well, you're the dumbass that was pulling out with pizza. So
I didn't care. I found it. It was a hidden surprise. I loved it.
I know where all
Hall
my
of Fame.
I know where all my wine is. So, folks, we are going to bid you adieu. We're going to thank Segashio for blessing us. And we are going to see you next time on the continuation of the birthday episodes here on the Wine Vault. So, good night.